الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. أما بعد, we continue reading the treatise of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. The treatise entitled Al-Usul As-Sitta, Al-Usul As-Sitta, the six principles. We begin reading tonight Al-Aslu Rabi', Al-Aslu Ar-Rabi', the fourth principle. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, Al-Aslu Rabi', Bayanu Al-Ilmi Wal-Ulama Wal-Fiqhi Wal-Fuqaha وَبَيَّانُ مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِهِمْ وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذَا الْأَصْلِ فِي أَوَّلِ سُورَةِ الْبَقَرَةِ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اُذْكُرُوا نِعْمَتِي الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ إلى قوله قبل ذكر إبراهيم عليه السلام يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الآيات. He says, وَيَزِيدُهُ وُضُوحًا مَا صَرَّحَتْ بِهِ السُّنَّةُ فِي هَذَا الْكَلَامِ الْكَثِيرِ الْبَيِّنِ الْوَاضِحِ لِلْعَامِّ الْبَلِيدِ ثُمَّ صَارَ هَذَا أَغْرَبَ الْأَشْيَاءِ وَصَارَ الْعِلْمُ وَالْفِقْهُ هُوَ الْبِدَعُ وَالضَّلَالَاتِ وَخِيَارُ مَا عِنْدَهُمْ لَبْسُ الْحَقِّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَصَارَ الْعِلْمُ الَّذِي فَرَضَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى الْخَلْقِ وَمَدَحَهُ لَا يَتَفَوَّهُ بِهِ إِلَّا زِنْدِيقٌ أَوْ مَجْنُونٌ وَصَارَ مَنْ أَنْكَرَهُ وَعَادَاهُ وَصَنَّفَ فِي التَّحْذِيرِ مِنْهُ وَالنَّهِي عَنْهُ هُوَ الْفَقِيهُ الْعَالِمُ. The author, he mentioned that the fourth principle, it is the clarification of knowledge in the scholars, the clarification of true, correct knowledge and the people of knowledge, and the clarification of jurisprudence, fiqh, and the scholars of jurisprudence, the fuqaha, and the clarification of those who resemble them and are not from them. He said, Allah has clarified this principle in the beginning of the chapter of Baqarah from His statement, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, O children of Israel, O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you. And to his statement, O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you and that I preferred you to the Alameen. And from verse number 40 in chapter Baqarah to verse number 122. He says, to add further clarification, the Sunnah has directly mentioned this with much clear speech from for the most ignorant of the laymen to understand. Then this became the strangest of things. This principle, correct knowledge and understanding. Correct knowledge and jurisprudence became innovation or considered innovation and misguidance to the people. And the best of what they had was mixing the truth with falsehood. The knowledge that Allah has made obligatory upon the creation and praised it, no one would mention it except a heretic or one who is insane. And this is how the outcome came with the people. And it became that whoever refuted it, and he refuted the correct knowledge, and opposed it, and authored works warning from it and prohibiting it, then he is the jurist, and he the faqih, and the scholar, the alim. So the author is clarifying this al-asl al-rabi', a great principle. Aslun kabirun azimun min usuli ahli sunnah. A great, magnificent, important principle from the fundamentals of the people of the Sunnah. Bayanul ilmi wal ulama. The clarification of knowledge, true knowledge, correct knowledge, and the real true scholars, the real people of knowledge. And al fiqh and fuqah and the fuqaha, the correct understanding in the deen, and the true scholars of jurisprudence who derive the correct rulings from the book and from the Sunnah. Likewise, the clarification of those who resemble them or imitate them, but they're not from them. So then we see that there is true knowledge and correct knowledge and understanding in the religion, and there are the people of knowledge that are correct and upright, the sound and pious and righteous scholars and people of knowledge. And then there are those who imitate them and they're not really from them. They imitate them and they're not really from them. And we see that the ulama that are upright, al-ulama, al-rasikhun, al-rabbaniyun, lahum sifat. ذَكَرَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِهِمْ وَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ أَيْضًا لَهُمْ صِفَاتٌ ذَكَرَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ That the upright scholars, the sound, true, pious and righteous scholars, they have attributes that they are known by way of. And Allah has mentioned them in His book. And likewise, those misguided, ulama su, the misguided and evil scholars, likewise, they have attributes that they are known by. And Allah has mentioned them in His book in many places. Particularly, the author is mentioning here from these two places in Surah Al-Baqarah. In the beginning, the clarification of true, correct knowledge. And the right, upright, and the true upright scholars. And the clarification of those who imitate them and that are not from them. This is found in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. To the statement right before the mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This one is in verse number 40 from Surah Al-Baqarah. All the way right before the mention of Ibrahim, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions this verse again. O children of Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. So between these verses here, it's approximately 12 pages. The author is mentioning that Allah has clarified the attributes of the people of knowledge and true and correct knowledge. And likewise, He has clarified the attributes of those who resemble and imitate those people of knowledge, and they're not from them. And they're not from them. So the first issue, clarification of knowledge. The clarification of knowledge. The clarification of the ulama, the upright and true scholars of this deen. This is of the utmost importance and from the greatest principles of the deen and of the people of the sunnah. And this principle, it is about the manhaj. Al-manhaj alladhi yasiru alayhi al-muslim fi talaqqi al-deen wa fi ta'allum al-deen wa fi talab al-ilm. This is a principle with regards to the clarification of the methodology of a Muslim. How he will seek knowledge. How he will obtain an understanding in the deen. How he will learn the sunnah. What is the correct knowledge to learn? What is the correct fiqh to learn that is praised, that Allah has praised in His book? And who are the ulama? And what is the manners to take from them? What are their attributes? This is a great principle. And if we ponder over the tartib and the arrangement of these principles so far, we see again the relationship. And if we were to think, what is the first thing that caused the Muslims to go to deviate from the first principle? What's the first principle? Ikhlas al-din lillahi ta'ala. Wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa bayanu diddihi. Aladihu wa shirk billah. Naam, what caused the people to deviate from this asl?
Lack of knowledge.
That's what he mentioned. فَلَمَّا صَارَ عَلَى أَكْثَرِ الْأُمَّةِ مَا صَارَ. Whenever what happened to the majority of the ummah occurred, then shaytan, أَظْهَرَ لَهُمَ الشَّيْطَانُ الْإِخْلَاصِ فِي سُورَةِ التَّنَكُّسِ الصَّارِحِينَ. Then shaytan is able to bring in his deviation. Why? Because of ignorance. Naam? Because of ignorance. So then it's important to have the right knowledge. Because if not, if one does not have the right knowledge, then he will be the opposite of that, which is ignorance. And then he was closer to falling into shirk and he does not know it. Closer to falling into innovation and he does not know it. He may think that the shirk is tawheed and tawheed is shirk. Especially if he, with regards to this fourth principle, not only the knowledge, but especially if he did not have the knowledge and he did not know who the true ulama are. Because then, now he's taking knowledge from the wrong sources. And this is what leads the people to worshiping graves. Because they have ulama. Ulama su. Their ulama, they teach them that this grave is a grave of the wali. And Allah subhanahu, and he has a great status with Allah azza wa jalla. And you're a sinner. Just, you're not worshiping him. You just go to him and ask him to intercede for you. Because he has a high status with Allah. As for you, you're a sinner. You have sins. Like this, slaughter for him, call on him, make istighatha with him. Like this, they deceive them. And then they tell them this is Tawheed. So they're misguided for not having knowledge, the correct knowledge, and then by taking knowledge from the wrong source. That's how they start worshiping graves. Taking knowledge from the wrong source. Likewise, with the second principle, the obligation of being united. We seen in our previous class last night that the Khawarij was the first sect to deviate from the straight path. And what was their deviation? Where was it at? And their understanding of the text. They have Quran, they have Sunnah. إِنَّمَا الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. The hukum is only for Allah. This is Quran. They're using Quran. They're using Sunnah as their evidences. But they're not getting their understanding from the proper source. So even though they have the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, they're not receiving the understanding from the proper source. What did Ibn Abbas say to them, radiallahu anhuma? I'm coming from the side of the Sahaba and I don't see none of them with you. In agreements with you and with your understanding and with your dispute. I'm coming from the side of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I don't see them with you. So here they're understanding, they're taking knowledge from other than the correct understanding. So what happened to them? They split and they deviated. And this deviation was specifically with regards to the third principle. And they made khuruj against the ruler. And they didn't listen and they didn't obey. So if we look at the fundamental principle, and the reason why individuals go astray are many, and in the end it's all in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah guides whom He wills, and He sends astray whom He wills. But if you look and try to pinpoint the source, why are these people going astray? We'll see it's from this principle right here. In this day, why are there people who put bombs on their chests and blow themselves up in the masjid? He's misguided. But how did he get there? He took knowledge from the wrong source. He thought somebody was an Adam, and he's not an Adam. He was imitating the Adam. He's not really an Adam. He's imitating the Adam. He's not really the Adam. This is the one that led him away. And this is why he believed that it's permissible to put a bomb on his chest and go to the masjid at Dhuhr and blow himself up. Because of that misunderstanding of the fourth principle. Taking knowledge from the wrong source. Not knowing who the ulama are. Likewise, if we look at the extreme Sufiya, they gather around and they turn off the lights and they hold their hands. And they say Allah over and over until they say Allah. And they're bouncing like this. Why did they do this? Because they have a creed and belief, and they believe that this is correct and beneficial. They were taught like this. They sought knowledge from the wrong source. They have ulama su, that are telling them that this is from the deen, that this is from the sunnah, that this is from the way. Like this. So, knowing what is correct knowledge and the proper manner to obtain it and the avenue to get it, and those who have it, who are they? This is very important. And the people from the Muslims, they go astray because of taking knowledge from the wrong source. You will find somebody who will be upright. Maybe he is from the people of the Sunnah. He starts listening to some people from the Khawarij. He starts listening or seeing the videos on the internet from ISIS, for example. Then next thing you know, what is he doing? He went astray. Why? Because of taking knowledge from the wrong source. It's very dangerous to take knowledge from the wrong source. It's very dangerous to learn about Islam from other than the ulama of the sunnah. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Even in these days, we have people that they're claiming Salafiyya, Ahl-Sunnah, but in reality they're Khawarij. In reality they're deviants. This is something that is known. When I was in Egypt, even they had posted on the streets, they said, Hizb al-Salafiyya. Yani the Salafi party. Yani Hizb. Yani how could it be a faction like this? And then for voting for them and their government. Yani there's a group of them running like this, and this is what they call their political party. And so the reality is that names, Islamic names, yani nice slogans, they're not beneficial if the reality is not behind them. They're of no benefit if the reality is not behind them. And this is something that is found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a time whenever there was some from an individual from the Muhajirin and an individual from the Ansar. They got into a dispute. So what happened? They become angry with each other. So the Muhajir, he says, "Ya lil Muhajirin." He called them. And he got calling them, and he called, "Ya lil Ansar." They're calling each other these names. And Muhajirun, what Ansar? These are terms that are found in the Quran. Allah called them Muhajirun. Allah Azza wa Jalla called them an Ansar. These are legislative terms. But in this instance here, they were not using them in the legislative manner. So the point behind that is that even though if it has a claim, Ahl Sunnah, Al-Islam, for example, every book that says Islam, every book that says Ahl Sunnah, like this is not indication that the information is correct there. Every website, to go to the website and just put in Islam or search for a ruling like this, this is not good, this is dangerous. The websites can be good if we know which ones to go to and which ones to use and which ones are authentic and the likes like this. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ heard them calling this, "Ya lil Muhajirin, Ya lil Ansar," like this, he said, "A da'wa jahiliya wa ana bayna adhurikum." Are you calling to the call of jahiliya? And I mean, now they're not using them in the legislative term. They was using them in this manner, like this is my group, and this is my group. Like, come, aid me for me, not for the haq. Like this. So the point is that whenever the terms are beautiful terms, Al-Islam, Al-Sunnah, Ahl-Sunnah, Salafiyyah, Ahl-Hadith, even sometimes you see Ahl-Hadith, there will be a jam'iyyah, organization, they call themselves Ahl-Hadith. They're the farthest away, might be sometimes to be the furthest away from the people of Hadith and their methodology. So the name itself is not that which is going to identify and clarify the right way, but rather their understanding and the application and their conduct and their manners. This is, and either deeds, this is what's going to clarify that. So to learn the proper knowledge is very important. And to learn who the true ulama are, this is very important. And this right here, this point right here is light for a Muslim. Light for a Muslim. Any Muslim, for example, who come to Islam, or maybe he was born Muslim, but he didn't know about the ulama. After learning about, for example, the ulama of our day, learning about Sheikh Ibn Baz for the first time, and learning about his fatawa, and the fatawa, and the books of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. After this is like light that he will see, being in contact with the ulama of the sunnah, the ulama of hadith, the ulama of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla that are on the upright way. This will bring light into a person's life, and he will be able to see the correct way. The example that the ulama have made of the ulama is that, with regards to the people, the true ulama is that of a people traveling together in the wilderness. People traveling in the wilderness. And it's dark. But one of them, he has a torch. What are they going to do? Traveling in the wilderness, in the woods, in pitch dark. Huh? Then all of the one that comes with a torch, everybody's going to follow him. If they go without the torch, they might fall into some trees, into animals, into a ditch, into danger. It's dangerous in the woods. It's dangerous to travel in the woods without a light. Here comes one, he has a blazing torch. What is he going to? He's going to be in the front. This is the one as the leader. And everybody follows by him. When he stops, they stop. When he goes, they go. And he's the one who has the blazing torch, the one that is bright and been burning for years. He has experience in carrying the torch. These are the ulama. These are the ulama. His beard is gray, carrying the torch of light, carrying the sunnah, defending the sunnah. That doesn't mean that he is infallible, but he has experience. And he knows this is the ulama. This is the example of the ulama of our times. We follow him. So what? Imagine this gathering here, and they're gathering, and if he's carrying the light, what if somebody comes along now with a lighter? He's like, "Man, leave him, follow me." He gets a little bit of light. This young guy comes along now, he gets a little bit of light, alhamdulillah. Cracks his lighter, and he said, no, leave the torch, just follow me. What would you say to him? "Na'udhu billah." This person is calling away from the way of the ulama. This is the example. The true light is clear. The true ulama, if we learn their sifat, it'll be clear. We will know who they are. We won't be deceived. And they're not one or two, alhamdulillah. In our day today, there are many, alhamdulillah. There are many ulama, kibar. Many ulama, kibar. From the greatest of the kibar ulama today, Shaykh al-Fawzan. From the greatest of the kibar ulama today, Shaykh al-Fawzan, he's alive today, alhamdulillah. And his brothers from the ulama. So it's very beneficial to learn who the ulama are. And to know who they are. And this is a fundamental principle. If a Muslim does not understand this, then he can go astray easy. He can go astray easy. He can go astray from tawheed to shirk easy. He can go astray from sunnah to bid'ah easy. He can leave the straight path just like that. He can go from halal to haram. There's people who claim to be ulama, they make riba permissible. Huh? They make usury permissible. They're claiming that they're the ulama. Na'udhu billah. They make these transactions that are haram, they try to make them permissible. Putting stuff in little writings like this, these different contracts and leases that we have here in America, and they try to say that this is permissible. But the people of knowledge, they know that this is not permissible. But if you're not aware of who the people of knowledge are, the ulama are, the upright scholars are, the upright students of knowledge, then a person might go to the wrong way. Following them. So the ulama, they have attributes and they have characteristics. The good ones and the bad ones. The good ones and the bad ones. This principle is so important. Many of the ulama of our time today, I mean, we can see this principle in effect. How they're the ones who call to tawheed. And they're the ones who clarify the sunnah. And they're the ones who call to unification. And they're the ones who call to listening and obeying the ruler. These are from their attributes. From the attributes of the true ulama, that they're called us to tawheed. And they warn from shirk. And that they're called us to the clarification of the sunnah. And they warn from innovation. And that they call to unification upon that. They call to ijtima'. They don't call to iftiraq. And they have knowledge and they have wisdom. And they call to listening and obeying the ruler. The first three principles, this is because this is what the Prophet ﷺ came with. And these people, these ulama, الصادقون الصالحون العاملون هم ورثة الأنبياء. They are the inheritors of the prophets. وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما. The Prophet ﷺ said that in the prophets they did not leave as inheritance any wealth, dirham or dinar. ورثوا العلم. They left behind knowledge. فمن أخذه أخذ بحاذا وافر. Whoever got a portion of that, he has a great portion. So these right ulama, they're calling to the way. They're calling to the risala of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're calling to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're calling to the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal with clarification. The most important things they're calling to are these first three principles here. This is from their attributes. This is from their way. Today we have people, they claim, we see that they're ulama, but they're ulama su. We've seen the examples of those who call to grave worship. Maybe he has a doctor's degree. He's claiming that you can make istighatha or you can make shafa'a with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you can make shifa'ah with the grave of the Qadr, or of the grave of Sayyidi Fulan. They have them making these claims. There's ulama, any ulama su, evil ulama that are telling you that you don't have to shave your beard. You don't have to grow your beard. You can shave the beard. This is all from the old days. They have ulama, they have people that ascribe to knowledge that are claiming this. And worse than that, likewise. We have today people who have doctor's degrees. People who have tazkiyat from major scholars. And they're calling to mullaharat. Today, they're calling to khuruj on the hukam. They just did. And we've seen the issue in Syria. There was people who had doctor's degrees, big and he respected people in society, supposed to be people of knowledge, ulama. And this is what they're calling to. And then we've seen the result of that. But the ulama of the sunnah, what were they calling to? Don't make khuruj, isbiru, ilzimu buyutakum. Stay in your homes. I remember this example, and this occurred. The ulama, they're advising, do not, in the time, whenever they first started the revolt in Syria. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Sheikh Fawzan, all of the ulama are saying, don't make khuruj, don't make khuruj. But they didn't listen to the ulama, the sunnah. What happened? They listened to the ulama, as-su. The callers and the du'at. They're not even ulama, he's not even a alim, they call him now da'iyah. Farakun kabir bayna alim wa da'iyah. So what happened? They went to the street. What happened then after they went to the street?
The streets were finished. The streets are finished. What happened out later? I remember this. I was sitting in the class of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin. This is later, after. And they're invading Hims, and they're invading the towns, and now they've been surrounded, and they have nothing left. Now, what are they doing now? In this desperate situation, now they're contacting the ulama. Now they're contacting. They're sending questions to Sheikh Abdul Muhsin and his dars. What are they asking him? Is it permissible for him to kill his daughter so that she won't be raped by them whenever they come and invade them? Wallahi, I heard with my ears in the gathering of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, this is what they're asking. Huh? Is it permissible? Of course, he said, of course it's not permissible to kill yourself. This is not permissible, but this is the situation they're in now. They're in this little village, they're in a small town, they're completely surrounded, the army is letting them know we're coming in. These people are people, they live, they're bakers, they're not army people. They went against the street and this is the outcome. In the end, this is what happened. They're forced to return to the ulama. But in a sad state like this, is it permissible for him to kill his daughter, for him to kill his wife? Because they're afraid that they're going to kill him and they're going to be in the hands of the Rafidah, of the Nusayriyah. And what will they do with their daughters? What will they do with their wives? This is the situation they found themselves in. Why? Because they opposed this asl. Aslun azimun min usuri ahli sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says about those who oppose what the Prophet came with, فَلِيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُسِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُسِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let them beware those who oppose His command, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or else a fitna will befall them, or a painful punishment. A painful punishment. This is the outcome of what? Breaking these principles. What led to the breaking of these principles? They're taking knowledge from the wrong source. They're taking knowledge from the wrong source. They took the fatwa from a scholar that is evil and misguided. Sahib Hawa. He's living in nice lands. He's sending his family here to learn. And then he's telling them, go fight in the street. Spill your blood. It's okay. This is a thawrah. Mercy. It's going to be a great outcome and advantage for the Muslims. What happened? No. There's no mercy. There's no mercy. It's total devastation. There's nothing except for humiliation now and sadness and grief for the Muslims. Altogether, nobody is happy with the situation. How this ended in this manner. And then the Muslims, they don't learn from this. And they want to start it here in this country. And they want to start it there in that country. All of this because why? They take knowledge from the wrong source. They have a fatwa from a scholar who is misguided. They're taking knowledge from people who do not deserve to speak about knowledge. Who themselves, they are misguided. So then this principle is very important. Al-asl, al-rabi', bayanu al-ilmi wal-ulama. Bayanu al-ilmi wal-ulama. We have to know what is knowledge. What is knowledge? Who are the ulama? Who are the ulama? And in reality, this is just one aspect. But the misguidance is many avenues. Misguidance is many avenues. The Prophet ﷺ, he drew the line on the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhum, khattalana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khattan, thumma khatta an yaminihi khututan wa shimanihi khututan. Yani khat wahid hada wa hada sirati mustaqiman fattabi'uhu wa la tattabi'u subula. Yani the ways of misguidance are many. Subul, kathira. There's lots of ways of misguidance. Desires, and shubuhats, and innovation, sins, transgression, misguidance, oppressing others, taking people's wealth. All of this is leaving the straight path. The way to know the clear way path is from knowledge. Holding fast to that, that's the application. Who has the knowledge and where do we get it from? From the ulama. From the ulama. They're the lights, they're the torch. The ulama al-alimun, al-amilun. The ones who know and they apply it. From the greatest attributes of the scholars is that they apply the knowledge that they have. That they apply the knowledge that they have. They have the knowledge of the Sunnah. They have the knowledge of the Tawheed. They have the knowledge of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they apply it. And they apply it. It's important when he's al-ilm. Bayan al-ilm. 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 Knowledge. And first we know if ilm is used in our deen, alhamdulillah, the meaning is al-ilm al-shar'i. And if they ever want any other meaning, they have to make taqeed. They have to restrict it. They have to say, for example, if they want the knowledge, like ilm of engineering, that you have to say ilm hendasa, Or if they want to talk about medicine, they say ilm al-tib. You have to make a restriction. But if it's used ultimately or absolutely, mutlaqan ilm. Al-ilm, yani al-ilm al-shar'i. Al-ilm bima anzal Allahu azza wa jal ala rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadha huwa al-ilm. Al-ilm huwa ilm ma anzal Allahu azza wa jal ala rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu azza wa jal anzala al-kitab alayhi wa anzala al-sunnah alayhi. Naam. Allah, the true knowledge, what is knowledge? Al-ilm, it is that which Allah has revealed to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is knowledge. This is the knowledge. So now that we know what the knowledge is, we have to know who has the knowledge and how to obtain it. Because there are the people of knowledge and there are ways to obtain it. There are people of knowledge and ways to obtain it. If we know what is knowledge and we know who to get it from and we know the avenues to take and traverse upon to get it, then we will have khair and we have barakah. We will have khair in our life and in our family. And those who come in contact with us in our community. Knowledge is light. Anytime there's a community and the knowledge is spread in that community, there's people of knowledge there. This is something that's tried and tested, that we know. We go to a community, we see there's people there, some students of knowledge, one, two, or brothers who have said with the students of knowledge, or brothers, yani there's knowledge in the community, alhamdulillah. We see that the evil in that community is less. The evil in that community is less. The backbiting is less, the problems are less. There's always going to be problems, but it's less. The evil spread amongst the community is less. If you go to another community where there's no knowledge there, there's no students there, upright, teaching, then what do you find there? You find that people backbiting, you find that people mixing, you find all types of haram actions and conduct. So the knowledge is very beneficial. The knowledge is very, very beneficial. And the one who doesn't have the knowledge is going to be led astray. And the one who is aware of the knowledge, but he takes it from the wrong source, he's going to be astray. He's going to go astray. And then even then, أَكْرَمُكُمْ اللَّهِ, he knows the knowledge. Quran, Sunnah. فَحَمُ السَّلَفِ. And he knows the ulama. But he doesn't take the right steps to get it. This is also going to be a problem. The ulama, they say that the knowledge, it has manners. The knowledge, it has manners. العلم له آداب. If we don't have the adab of knowledge, then the knowledge can be harmful for a person. The first adab of knowledge is that it's obtained sincerely with the intention of applying it. Sincerely for the sake of Allah with the intention of applying it. If the knowledge is obtained without this intention, it would be a wabal on the individual. And wabal meaning it would be an evil outcome. And it will be a proof against the individual. And there will be much fitna that is spread because of this person. The one who obtained the knowledge without the right intention. The one who obtained the knowledge without the right intention, this one will have fitna with him, around him, and where he goes. The one who obtained the knowledge with the right intention, even if he just had a little knowledge, you will find barakah in him. Because why? Because Allah puts barakah in the one who has ikhlas. The one who has ikhlas and he learns what he learns because he wants to obey Allah. He learns like this. This is the intention with the knowledge. I want to know what Allah says in His book so I can apply it. I want to help others be able to apply it. This one right here, you will find barakah in him. Maybe he's not famous, maybe nobody knows him, but the people who do know him, they benefit from him. Whenever he talks to them, they benefit. This is the case of the one who has the knowledge and he's upright. This is the first case from the issues of knowledge that he has taqwa, and taqwa with the knowledge, and that he fears Allah. The author, he mentioned that these attributes of those upright scholars, they're found in these chapters. They're found in these chapters. So from the first thing that he mentioned is the verse of Allah, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. So these ulama, what do? They're people of dhikr and people of shukr. The people of dhikr, remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla, remembering the bounties of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and their people of shukr, they're applying that in the best manner. Trying to please Allah Azza wa Jalla and show thanks. Then what did he say after that, the next verse? Where's the hufan? La. before the first verse. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين وآمنوا بما أنزلت مصدقا لما معكم ولا تكونوا أول كافرين به. نعم. Then what he said after that, سبحانه وتعالى ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فارهبون. So from the sifat of the evil scholars, يشترون بآيات الله, they are learning the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal for a reason of the dunya, to gain status, to gain rank. There, right there is one of the first signs of the ulama su. They want status, they want rank. يشترون بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا. They're buying, purchasing by the prices, what? The verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. They're learning the deen, they're learning the knowledge, they're learning the sunnah, but they don't want to do this for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, they want to have a portion in the dunya. They want to be praised, they want to have a rank, they want to have status, they want the people to look at them and praise them. MashaAllah, he knows so much, MashaAllah, recites so good. يشترون بآيات ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا وإياي فارهبون. Rather, the contrary to that, فارهبون أي فخشوني, fear me, الخشية. So then from the greatest sifat of the ulama, as-sunnah, ulama as-sadiqin, الخشية. And that's why the ulama, they mention it, it's been narrated on Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, that he said, يعني كفى المرء علما أن يخشى الله عز وجل. It's sufficient that a person to have knowledge that he fear Allah Azza wa Jal. That he fear Allah Azza wa Jal. What does it mean to fear Allah Azza wa Jal? It means that he will try to obey him with his tongue. He will try to obey him with his ears. He'll try to obey him with his hands. This is what he would do. He will be afraid to disobey him with his tongue. If he slipped, he would feel bad. If he slipped with his eyes, he would feel bad. وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ. They have iman in what Allah has revealed, and they apply it, and they fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. These are from the greatest attributes. Whenever we see a person who ascribes to knowledge and he doesn't apply it, then this is a major calamity for him, and for those who come in contact with him, and for those who come in contact with him. Now, so the author, he's going to clarify, he mentioned in these verses. What we want to do for this class, inshallah, there's homework for next week. For anybody who wants to participate, for anybody listening who wants to participate, I encourage, read these verses. From where? Chapter 40. Because the author is telling us what? Huh? بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى هَذَا الْأَصْلِ. What's the أصل? العلم والعلماء والفقه والفقهاء. Allah clarified this principle in the في أول سورة البقرة من قوله, from his statement, سبحانه وتعالى, O children of Israel, remember my bounty upon you, or my favor upon you. Verse 40, to his statement after that, verse 122, mentioned the same thing. يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين. Now, from verse 40 to verse 122, we can see the fiqh of this imam, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahid, in his pondering over the Quran. He's telling us right now that all of these verses, from this verse 40 to 122, it begins like this: O Bani Israel, O Bani Israel. All of this is about the people of Israel and the children of Israel. Allah is addressing them directly. But he's telling us, this author, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, this great imam and scholar, that in this address to them is a clarification who the ulama are, and what is real knowledge, and who the fuqaha are, and what is true fiqh, and what is contrary to that from those who imitate the ulama and that are not from them, and those who imitate the fuqaha but they're not from them. He's saying that it's in these 12 pages here, the clarification. So that means that he must have, rahimahullah, read these pages and pondered in detail to come with this understanding. So then read, as the homework, read these pages in Arabic, in English, in Arabic, in English, whatever the case may be, the language that one understands, and see where you can find attributes of the people of knowledge in these. After this, Allah Azza wa Jalla, after this verse, also in the very beginning, Allah mentioned, he says, وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. So here, another a point, that the ulama, they are what? They're people of piety. They have piety, and they have taqwa. What does Allah Azza wa Jalla say after that? For example, I've given you a jump start. That's it. ولا تلبس الحق بالباطل وتكتم الحق وأنتم تعلمون. Do not mix up the truth with the falsehood. That's from the sifat of who? The ulama as-su. Ulama as-su. What do? يلبسون الحق بالباطل. That they mix up the يعني يخلطون. They mix up the falsehood with the truth. They don't come with the falsehood like this. Take it. They don't come with the bid'ah like this. Take it. Or they take the bid'ah and they put it in the clothing of the truth. And then the people who don't know, they don't have the true knowledge and they're not in contact with the true ulama, they may be deceived. They may be deceived. وَلَا تَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ from the sifat of the those who imitate the scholars but they're not from them, is that they do what? They have kitman. They conceal and they hide the knowledge. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So here we see that Allah is mentioning these verses that's clarifying who the ulama are, clarifying their attributes and their descriptions, clarifying who those who imitate the ulama. And if these are people, they have knowledge. وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. They have knowledge. هُمْ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ لَكَنَّهُمْ يُلَبِّسُونَ الْعِلْمِ لِأَغْرَاضٍ دُنْيَوِيَّةٍ وَيَكْتُمُونَ الْعِلْمِ لِأَغْرَاضٍ شَخْصِيَّةٍ. But they decorate or they mix up the falsehood with the truth. Why? They have worldly desires and goals. They conceal the truth while they know. Why? Because they have personal aims and hopes to gain. This is the case. To know these attributes is very important. To know these people is very important. To be on the straight path means that you're on the path of the people of the straight path. And يَهْدِينَ صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ نَعْمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. This is the case. They have sifat. They have attributes. They have conduct. They have manners. They have characteristics. These people that are on that path, yes, they can be known. You can meet a person and not even speak to him for only a second, inshallah. And understanding these sifat, you all know he's from those people on the straight path. Likewise, you can meet somebody and have a few talk with him, and you can realize that he's not somebody on the straight path. Few words, conduct and manners, he's not on the straight path. And we have to be careful, because these people that come, the ulama as-su, they don't come just, I mean, they look like they're يَتَشَبَّهُونَ بِهِمْ فِي لِبَاسِهِمْ وَفِي أَقْوَالِهِمْ فِي مَظْهَرِهِمْ. They dress like the people of the ulama. They act like the people of the ulama. They might even sit in the gatherings of some of the ulama like this, but they're not from them. This is dangerous. How do we know them? By the sifat. بَيَّنُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعُلَمَ. This is the fourth principle. And this is where the people go astray. What do we say about the Khawarij? Why did they go astray? They took knowledge from the wrong place. Why did the Sufis go astray? They took knowledge from the wrong place. Why did the Ikhwan Muslimun go astray? They took knowledge from the wrong place. They took knowledge from the wrong place. The ulama, they mentioned like this, a statement Shaykh Ali al-Haddadi, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. He mentioned, he said, maybe somebody will study Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. What book is that? Creed, Asma'i wa Sifat. This is a kitab, Salafi Jiddan, by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. But he said, if they study that book with an Ikhwan person, Ikhwani person, he's going to be Ikhwani. He's going to come out like this. He's going to be a Hizbi. Why? Because he studied this book at the hands of this man that has a misguided intention. He has aghrad, he has shahwa. He wants something other than the deen of Allah. He wants something other than the pleasure of Allah. He wants to follow the goal of his group like this. So taking knowledge is very important. Learning where to get the knowledge from is very important. If a person knows the knowledge but he gets it from the wrong source, he can easily be misguided like that. بَيَّنُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعُلَمَى. Now, so again, those who go astray from the Ummah of Muhammad, this we can pinpoint back here to this source right here. The main cause that led the people to leave their homes and their communities and go to ISIS. What is the main cause? There's a lot of factors, but what is the main thing? They take knowledge from the wrong source. They take knowledge from the wrong source. He's going to go to a grave and he's going to ask the grave for a baby. His wife can't have babies yet. He goes to the grave and asks the grave to provide a baby. He slaughters for the grave. Why? What led him to this? His natural creed, la. The Quran and Sunnah, la. The ulama, as-su. He took knowledge from the wrong source. He took knowledge from the wrong source. A brother prays in the masjid all the time. Maybe he's in the front row. May Allah protect us all and our families from misguidance. But this is something that we see. The next thing you know, he's on the news. He did something with a gun in the mall. Or a knife. Or the likes like this. We see these things in America, in Britain. Next thing you know, this is the, what happened to him? He's taken knowledge from the wrong place. He's taken knowledge from the wrong... Where did he get these ideas, this extremism? How did it come in? What led him to this? Taking knowledge from the wrong place. Taking knowledge from the wrong place. How did they split into groups? This one's Tabligh, and this one is Ikhwani, and this one is Mu'tazili, and this one is Qadari. How did this... Where did the Mu'tazili come from anyways? He split away from the ulama. Huh? He split away from Al-Hasan al-Basri. Then they became what? Mu'tazila. From them they came. There's Jahmiya, and there's Qadariya, and there's Al-Jabariya. All of this splitting. Why? Because they split away from the ulama, the correct way. They take knowledge from the wrong source. They take knowledge from the wrong source. This is a very, very important point that the Muslims must understand in general. Ahlul Sunnah specifically. And the brothers on the manhaj even more to be worried about their children, where they take knowledge from. Where they take knowledge from. And then on top of that, subhanAllah, even these devices sometimes, this knowledge, maybe they're not even looking at deen. Maybe they're looking, for example, at something they say it's science. These people are atheists. They put their atheism in their science program, in their nature program. Look at this, is Mother Nature. Like this, they forget about Tawheed. All of this is education. It's very dangerous where we get our knowledge from. It's very dangerous where our children are learning from. This is something that we have to be concerned about. Where is my knowledge coming from? Where are my children learning their knowledge from? And the matter like this. This is a great fundamental principle. This is the fourth principle. If a person did not understand this principle properly, it will be a means for him to deviate from the straight path. To deviate from the straight path. It'll be a means for him to deviate from the straight path. To leave off Tawheed. To leave off Sunnah. Why did he leave off Sunnah? He took the knowledge from the wrong source. So then we ask the question, what is knowledge then? I mentioned earlier again, what is knowledge? Now. The knowledge is that which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say ma anzal Allahu azza wa jalla ala rasulihi. Allah, he mentioned wa anzalahu, meaning the Quran, wa anzalahu bi ilmi. He revealed it with his knowledge. It's revealed. So the knowledge, the true knowledge, al ilm al sahih al shar'i al sahih al ilm. This is what came from the heavens. It descended to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It didn't start here. The ulama, they said the proper creed and the proper belief. Al-ilm, what is al-ilm? Al-ilm is al-iman, al-i'tiqad, al-sahih. This is ilm, this is wahi from Allah azza wa jal, revelation. It is iman, sincere, true, correct faith, the proper creed and belief. This is knowledge. Where it came from, Allah azza wa jal. It came from the heavens. Allah anzalahu. And al-ilm al-sahih wal-munazzal ma'indi rabbil alameen. It came from the... It was revealed and it came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the other adyan, all the other religions, they're what? They come from the earth. These adyan, they come from the earth. Christianity didn't come from the heavens. It came up from the earth. That's what they say. Nabatat. هذه الأديان نبتت من الأرض. أما الدين الإسلامي الصحيح السنة نزلت. أنزل الله عز وجل القرآن والسنة. This is the correct religion and the correct way and the correct knowledge. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.